My name is John Erling, and today's date is April 21st, 2016. So, Richard, would you state your full name, please?
Richard Wayne Chapman.
And your date of birth?
September 1st, 1928.
And your present age?
88.
We are recording this interview
at my home.
In South Tulsa.
South Tulsa. Uh-huh.
Where were you born?
I was born on a homestead 5 miles west of Jefferson, Oklahoma.
So what were the conditions of the facility in which you were born on that homestead?
It was a farm. My grandfather made the Cherokee Strip run, and that's then he went to call to preaching. And my folks moved down from Kansas onto the homestead. That's where I was born.
So let's talk about your grandparents. What was your grandfather's name?
Oliver Beale.
And so he came from Kansas?
He came from Kansas.
Tell us about how he obtained that homestead.
Well, he made the Cherokee Strip run in 1893. And he homesteaded along the Salt Fork River there. Along with his brother.
What was the procedure to secure that land?
Well, they had it staked out at 160 acres for each plot. And once you got there, they had an identification stake that you would take up out of the ground. And then after you had settled there over a night or two, then the government would come out and check. And then, after you had made some improvements, like plowed some ground, planted some trees, planted a garden, and they had a lot of regulations you had to follow. And once you had those basics, then you took the deed that was on this stake to Caldwell, Kansas, to the government facility, and they would sign the property over to you.
So I'm going back here. When he went out there and pulled up that stake, he had to stay there and camp out.
Yes.
Until the government officials came by.
That's right.
And said, okay, you're him and you've got the stake.
Yeah.
And then, so that like improvements, I suppose they had to dig a well or...
Well, when they traveled there, when the opening started, on their wagons that they took into that territory.
Covered wagon, I suppose.
Well, yes, and work wagons. Right. They put small metal tanks in there. And then when they decided where their stake was, then they were close to the river, and they could do what they call stamp water. If you just stand there and stamp in this sand close to the river, water would come to the surface.
Hmm.
And then they would sink a pipe there, and that was their water source.
Right. But then their first, I suppose they lived in a dugout to begin with.
Well, yes. The men lived in a tent there for a few days until they got it all taken care of. And then when he moved the family down, before he moved the family down, he dug into the side of the hill and made a huge dugout there, probably 14 by 12, that was their first home in this dugout.
Do you know how long he lived in that dugout?
Until they had the house built.
So that
probably a year or a year and a half.
And it's just hard to imagine, isn't it?
Well, yes. You'd be there, and you'd see a centipede come across, and bull snakes like to live in those caves also. And you had to get rid of the bull snakes every week or so. Once you habitated there, then the snakes and other creatures wouldn't try to get in because it was occupied.
So who was living in that dugout? Your grandfather and...
No, my mother and father and my two older brothers who were born in Kansas earlier. And that's the first people that lived in a dugout.
So there were four of them.
Uh-huh.
Right. Now, your mother's name?
Zoe. Charlotte Zoe.
And your father's name?
Byron Delvere. Uh-huh.
All right. And we'll get back to them in a minute, but you just think about if they lived a year, year and a half. Think about the winters.
Yes. Well, one thing about a dugout, it was very warm in the winter, easy to heat or whatever, and it was cool in the summertime.
And so they would heat it? They would just heat it by the wood they found around?
Yeah, they'd put a flue in the ceiling, and they had a little wood stove where the flue would take the smoke outside.
The flue or the pipes, I guess we're calling them, right?
Right.
And that was the beginning of your family.
Right.
That's pretty amazing, isn't it?
Yes.
And they were hardy, hardy folks.
And all over that territory, there were hundreds of people doing the same thing that made the Cherokee Strip run.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, that adds pride to your lineage, doesn't
it? Yes. Oh, yes.
Your brothers or sisters?
My brothers were born in Kansas before they made the Cherokee Strip run. My older brother, Merle and Eugene, were born in Kansas.
And then a sister?
A sister was born in Oklahoma, and my brother next to me was born in Oklahoma, and I was born, all on the homestead.
And then when you were born, you were probably born in the house, and obviously built that.
Yes,
because you were then born in 1928.
Yeah, my brother next to me, he's 5 years older, he was born in the house also.
Because they made Cherokee Strip run in 1893 is what you said, right?
Uh-huh.
All right. Your mother, Zoe, what was her personality like? What was she like?
What was she like?
Yeah, her personality.
Oh, she was a Christian woman, and she worked just as hard or harder than the men, and a great cook, and had to make all the clothes. Tremendous seamstress. They had to be, all the women at that time. In fact, when they finally did go to a grocery store, the grocery stores would buy flour, and these sacks would have certain designs on them, and the women would take those and make dresses and blouses and shirts for those, and they'd stand in line at the grocery store when the supply wagon came in with the flour, and they'd pick out their designs there. That's mainly the way they made a lot of their clothes.
Right, and from both men and women, I guess.
Yes.
Shirts they made out of that for the guys. And,
yeah.
Yeah. So then your father's name?
Byron Delvere.
And what was he like, his personality?
Well, he was a hard-working farmer, big man, strong. He smoked. He chewed tobacco. He was a disciplinarian, I guarantee you that. Because he had, especially with the older boys, and he put them to work.
Yeah. Well, you're a pretty big man yourself, so you're probably as big as your father.
You're probably
the same size.
I think I'm about the same size as my father.
And how tall?
6'2".
6'2".
Uh-huh. Weighed about 190.
Well, as they say, broad at the shoulders and slender at the waist.
Not as slender as I used to be. But
right. Right. So then the kind of farming that he did then on that 160.
Well, the main thing they put in, first of all, was wheat, and then alfalfa, and then a feed crop like oats or other grain that they could grow to raise a plant to feed the cattle and horses and so forth.
So they did that all using horses.
Yes.
So do you know then when they got there, they had to buy equipment? They must have brought money with them or borrowed money?
Well, they made money from their crops.
But what did they have the equipment to make those first crops?
Yes, they did.
They brought that with them.
Yes. And they had, in other words, machinery to plant the wheat, and they had horses to pull the machinery. Didn't have tractors. Then they had a threshing machine that was run by gasoline. Actually, I think it was run by coal oil.
Oh.
And but that was...
Some did steam engines.
Yeah.
But
they had some steam engines there, too. He didn't have one, but they a lot of the farmers did have.
So that's the way they did their threshing.
And they would co-op. In other words, one man would have a steam engine, and maybe four or five farmers would use it, and then they'd co-op in harvesting their crop and then also making it proper for market.